Spring practice 2022 is in the books. Tennessee's season opener has been moved up, and ESPN's FBI giving no love to the Tennessee Volunteers football team. We are loaded up here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, happy Friday and welcome into Locked On Vols. It is your team, the Tennessee Volunteers, every single day, Monday through Friday when you wake up, weekday mornings, wherever you get your podcast on YouTube as well. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can find me and this podcast on Twitter every single day at Locked On Vols and at _Kaner. If you're new to the show, you picked a good day. We've got tons of news to unravel and nuggets to get into regarding Tennessee's spring scrimmage that you're not going to get anywhere else, okay? I'll just tell you that right now. So, guys, I really, really do appreciate it. If you're new, again, welcome. I'm Eric Kane. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee at 99.1 The Sports Animal, and I write for the Rival site. That is volquest.com. All right, so what we're going to get into here today is in segment one, we're going to break down what was scrimmage number three of spring practice and, just kind of tie a bow on spring practice a little bit more. We'll stretch this out. We'll talk more about what we learned, top five players that most impressed me this spring, all that and more. That's coming up next week. You know I'm going to milk this cow for all it's worth. But just kind of tying a bow on spring practice, we'll hear from Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, my boss here in just a couple of minutes. And so, essentially, you know, the big takeaway for me for spring practice is you're in a better spot now than you were this time last year, obviously. You're in a better spot now, I feel like, in terms of understanding, in terms of expectations, in terms of being comfortable, than maybe you were at points in times during the football season just this past fall. That does not mean that it is a finished product. It is far from it. I think that there will be additions be made to this roster that will help Tennessee. I think that you're still going to have some holes in terms of where you'd like to have a little bit more proven depth. And I think you're still going to be searching for some starters come fall camp. I truly do. But I do think Tennessee's football team is well on its way, and it's just dealing with the normal hiccups that come with a roster change and an offseason of a normal season. I truly do believe that, with the exception of, obviously, you want to have some depth in some other key areas. Josh Heupel, again, tied a bow on it Thursday morning, saying that he's proud of the growth of this team. He does... was asked essentially, are you going to add to this roster? And he says, we're always evaluating the roster. We're always trying to create more competition. So that's, coach speak for, yes, we're going to bring in guys via the transfer portal. Was pleased with how the run game performed in scrimmage number three. Said that the running backs were running hard, finishing blocks. The offense overall did a great job in 4 minutes. I can tell you through talking with some people through the back channels that, and these notes are available in the war room if you're a VolQuest.com subscriber as well. Jimmy Callaway hauled in a 75-yard touchdown reception from Joe Milton in scrimmage number three earlier on Thursday. That was against the second-team defense. Jalen Hyatt hauled in a 45-yard touchdown reception from Hendon Hooker against the first-team defense. That was in scrimmage number three on Thursday. And Dejon Terry and Elijah Simmons combined for a safety in that scrimmage as well. So it sounds like the offense had a pretty good showing in scrimmage number three. Now, what was the snap count? How many plays did these guys play? All that type of stuff. What we saw from the open scrimmage for media last Saturday was, the starters didn't play a whole lot. And that was probably by design, both to give those guys a break and to not show us much in the media. But those are some notes that I gathered here from, or that the team over at VolQuest.com gathered here and on scrimmage number three. So I don't want to say it was just me, because it certainly wasn't, but we all talk to people in terms of what we get some notes from whenever we're not able to get there. So those were some of the big explosive plays. I was also told that Jimmy Callaway dropped what would have been a touchdown pass, so what comes with the good also is there with the bad. But it sounds like Josh Heupel was very pleased with how his team has finished spring practice. I just get the better overall feel that you feel more comfortable in the front seven defensively. Of course, you had no cornerbacks this entire spring. You will get those guys back, and there will be competition there, and that's a good thing. I do feel like Josh Heupel, that he is loving the leadership he's getting from both Trayvon Flowers and Jalen McCull in the secondary, and of course Jalen Hyatt, and the turn in mindset compared to where he was in the fall and the offseason last year to where he is now. Sounds like Jalen Hyatt really is making some plays. I asked Josh Heupel about the offensive tackle position And he said that Dane Davis, before getting hurt, was playing his best football. I found that interesting. But he said that Gerald Mincy and J.J. Crawford have both been splitting the reps at left tackle, depending on, you know, who goes first, depending on who graded out higher the day prior. So, you know, we'll see exactly how that position blossoms through fall camp as that battle continues. There will be some additions to the roster. I fully expect that. When? We'll see. But there will be some additions without a doubt. Was able to pull Brent Hubbs aside, my boss over at VolQuest.com, to kind of get his thoughts as Tennessee tied a bow on spring practice 2022. This is what Brent had to say earlier on Thursday.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Eric Kane here on the Locked On Vols podcast. Tennessee wrapping up spring practice 2022. Scrimmage number 3 Thursday morning. It sounds like quarterback Taven Jackson, the best day so far in spring camp. The run game had a good day, and the defense had another safety.
Well, and look, Taven Jackson should be better, right? I mean, as you progress through, and I think he's been solid all spring long, but he should be at his best at the end of spring with a young guy learning what he's learning. I think there's positives in the run game because we saw a run game Saturday in the scrimmage, a few snaps we got to watch, where they were just kind of okay. So I think that's a nice step forward for them to end spring on. Defensively, I think they've been, you know, pretty solid. I think they would like to get their hands on more balls, so it was, you know, big to get a safety again today. They scored, obviously, multiple times in the scrimmage last Saturday, although that's a little skewed with some walk-on stuff and some other things that they had going on there.
So now the spring practice is over as we try to evaluate what we've seen over the last month or so. Big questions, I think, defense. You feel better about where the defense is? I know, like you said, a little bit skewed. I mean, the cornerbacks have not even been here. But do you feel better about the front seven now than you did maybe leaving the fall season?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, look, you feel better because of the experience that they have. I mean, Byron Young should be better, right? Dejon Terry should be better. All those guys that are coming back should be better just simply based on the experience. Same thing at linebacker, understanding more what to do. The question that you have with those guys is, do you have enough depth? You know, I mean, you got to take a guy like Matthew Butler. I mean, he was a snap eater a year ago. Who's going to be able to do that on the interior? Do they need more bodies? You know, that's the one thing there. Tyrese West getting better, you know, but can those guys really help out of the gate, he and Jordan Phillips? We'll see. But I think they look better physically. I think they're more confident because they got a better understanding of this defense. So I think it's only natural that you feel a little better about them than you did a year ago, even though they were solid a year ago. The big question remains, can they stop anybody in the back end? Can they find help at the corner position and find the answers there? Because even what they're returning has been up and down. Who can be consistent back there? Who can take a step for them?
Yeah, and we might not know the answers to that until fall camp, really into the season potentially. And I think they could potentially add through the transfer portal. On the offensive side, and as you and Austin Price pointed out on yesterday's two-minute drill, you know, unless somebody's just sitting there that makes sense and perfect, you might be done at offensive tackle. Tyler Steen, of course, going to Alabama. What have you heard or maybe gathered from J.J. Crawford, Gerald Mincy, that they try to vie for that left tackle spot?
Well, I think this staff, this offensive staff in particular, is pretty confident in the ability of J.J. Crawford. Now, to me, he's going to go out and prove it still, but I think they feel like that he's, you know, so much better than he was at any point a year ago. I think Gerald Mincy sees himself as a guy who's a left tackle, big body guy. And the question is there enough for them to believe that, hey, with a great summer, we're going to be fine at that position? I think there's a little more confidence about that late in spring than there was at the beginning. Remember, Mincy missed the first scrimmage, missed some time with an ankle, but he's pushed through, and I think that's given them a little more confidence in him because they've seen what he can do the back half of this scrimmage, or the spring. I think they still need help at the wide receiver spot. And then the question is, I mean, I don't think they take a running back unless there's just some elite guy out there that pops up, which is hard to see. But clearly they would like to add Brew McCoy if they could at the receiver spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Tennessee's going to be looking to add the receiver position. That's the hot name right now. But last thing for you, Ramel Keaton, Jimmy Holiday, Squirrel White, those are the names we've heard kind of a lot throughout spring practice. I'm under the impression that, you know, some of those guys still might not play a big-time role, but it looks like the receiver position took a step this spring, and, of course, it's big in Josh Heupel's offense.
Well, and I think the guy who led that step is Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who admitted himself that he wasn't committed the way he needed to be last year, didn't focus the way he needed to. He's 20 pounds heavier. He's stronger. He's got more confidence. You can see him carry that confidence out on the practice field. He's made plays. Can he stay locked in throughout the entire summer the way he is now? certainly seems like he's got the right mindset. If he does, that changes this receiving core a good bit, because you play him in the slot, then you find another guy on the outside who doesn't have to do a ton. Javonte Payton just made enough plays to take some pressure off of Cedric Tillman, but they've got to have somebody to help Cedric Tillman. Starting in the slot, I think Jalen Hyatt's the guy you're most excited about as you leave spring.
He's Brent Hubbs, BallQuest.com, since he wraps up 2022's edition of spring practice.
Again, that's Brent Hubbs at BallQuest.com. So, spring practice, it is officially over. They will have a walkthrough of sorts on the other side of spring break when they get back, but that's just one practice, and it came and gone at the blink of an eye, right? Tennessee spring practice is in the books. So, we will continue to break down spring practice all next week. Don't worry, we'll continue to tell you who I think helped themselves out, who didn't have a very good spring practice, the biggest position battles. Spoiler, it's the same ones we've been talking about the entire time. We'll get into that next week. But coming up here on the other side of, here in Locked On Vols, the season opener, it's been moved now for the second straight season. Why? And what are some benefits and some interesting statistics that come with Josh Heupel and openers? That's coming up here on Locked On Vols. But before that, I want to tell you about Built Bar, right? I'm going to tell you about those Puff Bars, protein-infused, marshmallow-infused Built Bars, covered in 100% chocolate. They taste so good, and they're new fan favorites. Some incredible flavors, cinnamony, churro, coconut, marshmallow, banana cream pie, so good. They're going to be your new favorite Built Bar as well. But every single Built Bar that's at Built.com, covered in 100% chocolate. The Puffs included in that. Low calorie, but high in protein. Replace your candy bars with these bars. They're better than a typical candy bar. It can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Just not good for you. But a Built Bar, it's got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 net carbs. All for you to look your best and feel the best, okay? So if you want to check out all the flavors, tons and tons, hundreds and hundreds of flavors at all at Built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15 and you're going to get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. Welcome back into your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. I am Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys here with me today as we conclude this busy, busy week and spring practice 2022. I want to tell you guys that starting Thursday, April 28th, tune in to Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft, all 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch Odyssey and Locked On NFL Mock Drafts Daily Special with Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson of Peacock and Williamson NFL Show all week leading up to the first pick. Again, that is Locked On NFL Draft coverage, 3 straight days, all of that April 28th through April 29th. Don't want to miss out on that. All right, so for the second straight year, Tennessee has moved its opener up from a Saturday to a Thursday. Now, what's big in this? Well, I mean, it can be a couple of benefits in this. I know most of you guys are probably not for this, and that's understandable, okay? You got a work week, right? I can understand that. You got a work week, and it's hard to get to a Tennessee football game when you're expected to be at work that next day, especially if you like the little drink like that we all like to enjoy, in taking part in a sporting event. Also, it's tough to get to a Neyland Stadium 7 p.m. kickoff time when you work, and you might get off at 5, 5:30, or 6 o'clock. If you're not local, it's pretty challenging to get there, to say the least. Now, it is what it is. A lot of you guys will take off work. I know one of my buddies, I talked to him earlier today. He said, hey, I was walking out of the office whenever I got the alert, and I ran back in there, and I took both that Thursday and Friday off. Some of you guys will do that, and that's great. I understand the frustration from a lot of you, even if you're not going to go, even if you're planning to go to that season opener that was originally supposed to be on September the 3rd against Ball State. Now it is Thursday, September the 1st at 7 o'clock against Ball State. Some of you guys were planning on going on Saturday. Now you probably can't make it to that Thursday game. Even if you want to stay home and watch it, 7 o'clock kick, you know that game's not going to end until 11:30. It just kind of is what it is, right? So I get the frustrations on that. I understand. But the positives, too, would be if you are going to go, you want to do 95-degree heat on a Saturday at noon because you know that game is going to be a kickoff at noon, right? Or do you want it to be a little cooler, high 70s, and the sun going down, a night game inside Neyland. Night at Neyland's what they're calling it. So for the second straight year, Tennessee is moving up. It is its season opener from Saturday to Thursday. there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that go into that, of course, but also just the big thing, it's moving up 2 days. Here's an interesting stat. I've said a couple of times that I know Josh Heupel loves those Thursday night games. So I went back and looked, and for his 4 seasons of head coaching, 3 at UCF, 1 at Tennessee, and now the upcoming season at Tennessee, so we'll say 5 right now, his 5 season openers, 4 of them have been on Thursday nights. The exception, 2020, whenever the season started a little later, it was September the 19th at Georgia Tech. That game was on a Saturday, so 2020 was a weird year to begin with. I'm not really sure what the original schedule was for UCF that year in 2020. I don't know, but they did end up playing on a Saturday to kick off the season. But you go all the way back to his first year as a head coach at UCF in 2018, Thursday, August the 30th at UConn. 2019, Thursday, August 29th versus Florida A&M. That 2020 year, that was the lone Saturday exception, September 19th at Georgia Tech. You get to Tennessee, of course, last year, Thursday, September the 2nd against Bowling Green, and this upcoming season it'll be Thursday, September the 1st against Ball State. So the pool is a little bit shrunk. Now, there will be other games in action. I'll tell you who they are here in just a moment. Of course, you probably already know Missouri is going to be in action that night. The other SEC foe will be in action on that Thursday night. But the pool will be shrunk, right? All eyes, not all eyes, but majority of college football fans, their eyes are going to be on you and your product. You're going to have the game on the SEC network, which is big. Speaking of Missouri, they're going to be playing on ESPNU. So, you know, hey, smart choice. Put Tennessee on SEC network because it's an exciting brand of football. So more eyes will be on you, and it's a good way to kick off the 2022 season. Now, I'm not sure what their plans are now regarding bringing prospects on campus. It will likely not be a night where you're bringing prospects on campus because these kids have school the next day. These kids have games the next day. You're not going to host official visitors, I would imagine. So it would be a little bit challenging. But nonetheless, it is what it is. And Tennessee is moving up its game to Thursday, September the 1st. Now, I mentioned Missouri. Its season opener versus Louisiana Tech is moving up to September the 1st as well. Both games were originally scheduled for Saturday, September the 3rd. Tennessee's game will be at 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. The Tigers will be at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. So Tennessee already beating Missouri once on the schedule so far for this upcoming season. Also, in other news, Missouri's home game against Arkansas will be played on Friday, November 25th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Excuse me, 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't know why they put the Central Time Zone first. Probably because Missouri is in the Central Time Zone. That might be it. But that game, I guess that's the day before Thanksgiving, or that's the day after Thanksgiving, I guess. So that's a holiday weekend. They're moving an SEC game from Saturday to Friday. Missouri, Arkansas will be that Friday, November 25th at 3:30 Eastern Time. So a little interesting there, right? Tennessee and Missouri from the Southeastern Conference are going to kick off the 2022 season 2 days earlier on Thursday, September the 1st against Ball State. I'm for it. You know, again, this is one man's opinion, and my life is very much different from your life. You're probably thankful for that. I will wake up. I'll do radio that morning if I'm still employed. That was a little iffy there on a Thursday morning's TSL. If you listen, you know what I'm talking about. check the podcast if you'd like. I'll wake up. I'll do radio that morning. I will go home and take a fat nap all day long. I will nap. I will get up. I will go to the stadium. I will cover the game. I will do my VolQuest duties post game, mini podcast. You know, write a column or two, whatever the case calls for. I will go to the radio station. I will cut up clips. I will get ready for the show the next morning, and then I will sit down and I will record this podcast and I will make it available immediately as soon as I get done. And that was probably my highest in terms of ratings, in terms of views and downloads episode I've ever done was the Friday night following the Bowling Green game. Can't thank you guys enough for tuning in that next morning. That's awesome, right? I mean, Tennessee football, you know, you go to bed after the win, you wake up first thing, boom, Locked On Vols is there for immediate reaction. I might, if I have time, I might try to sprinkle in some more post-game pods this year, kind of like I did with basketball season. But I'm just so freaking busy after the games on Saturday that it'll be tough. But nonetheless, this will be a full-fledged podcast ready, waiting for you the next morning. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. So for me, I enjoy it. I pull an all-nighter. But for me, I really enjoy it because you work all the way through. It's good for business. You roll into it. Friday, I go home and sleep literally all day long. And then I wake up and I go and I I get to watch Saturday football, college football all day on Saturday. So for me, I like it. But I certainly do understand for you guys that might have conflicts, who were planning to go to the game, might not be able to go anymore. So I get it. But nonetheless, Tennessee will move its season opener up 2 days to Thursday, September the 1st against Ball State. And that is the fourth time in 5 years as Josh Heupel's been a head coach that he opens up on a Thursday. The lone exception, the COVID year in 2020 when he kicked off against Georgia Tech on Saturday, September the 19th. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your sports stats and sports information. Find the latest odds, sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs, the start of Major League Baseball season. I talk about futures for baseball. Hey, futures for college football, future Heismans. Those odds have been out for quite some time. We talked about it right here on Locked On Vols. East Division winners in the SEC, West Division winners in the SEC, your future SEC divisional champion or conference champion. Who are you going to take? You can find all that, get your futures in at betonline.net. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and a whole lot more. Even reality TV, you got it there at betonline.net. Right now, I need you to head over to the website today or check out your mobile device, learn about all the latest trends and all of the action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Just a couple minutes left here on this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me here today. Again, you can be doing literally anything with your time, but you're hanging out with me here on this podcast, so it doesn't go unnoticed. Thank you so much to everybody that has jumped aboard on YouTube. You guys are awesome. It's been fun. I appreciate you guys there as well. All right, to conclude a Friday show, and again, we'll talk more spring practice coming up next week. We'll tie a bow on a number of different things, who I think stood out, top five storylines, players, yada, 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 all that good stuff. But SEC teams showed well in the recently released ESPN's FBI preseason top 25. What is the FBI? Well, that is ESPN's College Football Power Index position preview or preseason preview for the 2022 season. What is the FBI? We reference the FBI and the FBI all the time when we're talking basketball and during football, don't get me wrong. But here's the definition of what the Football Power Index is and what it's looking for. It's a measure of team strength that is meant to be the best predictor of a team's performance going forward for the rest of the season. FBI represents how many points above or below average a team is. Projected results are based on 20,000 simulations of the rest of the season using FBI results to date and the remaining schedule. Ratings and projections update daily. So again, this is a simulation model based on 20,000 simulations to basically see how strong your team is, your strength compared to other teams on your schedule at or below the average line. So the SEC had a great showing in the FBI, right? FBI came out. ESPN released it on Thursday. And top 25, you have the Florida Gators jumping in there at number 25. Hell, I wouldn't have pegged them in there at all. But you got the Florida Gators there. Mississippi State Bulldogs, okay, at 24. I can see some love for Will Levis. Golly, that's Kentucky's quarterback. Will Rogers, my guy. Kentucky's at 20. I would have had them way up there. You guys know I'm high on Kentucky's roster, and that's probably why some of you guys hate me right now. But it is what it is. Ole Miss is in there at 17. Okay, you added a lot through the portal. I understand it. You're replacing a lot, but I get it. At number 14, you got Texas A&M. Okay, a little overrated as always, but it is what it is. LSU's at number 11. That's a surprise, especially that high. LSU's at number 11. Auburn's at number 10. I mean, what? What are we doing here? Why is Auburn at number 10? Georgia's at number 2. Okay, so where's Tennessee? You know Tennessee's not going to be there. Could Tennessee be at number 1? Oh, wait. Forgot to mention Alabama. Alabama's at number 1. So Tennessee's not in this. We'll go back and revisit why Florida and Auburn's in this and tell you why that's a bunch of baloney. But Tennessee's not in this. What? I think we can all agree that if it's not a slam dunk, which I don't believe it's a slam dunk, don't hear me wrong, but there's at least a 100% guaranteed conversation that you can have right now that Tennessee is the second best team in the SEC East. It's Georgia, and then most would say Tennessee is the second best team in the SEC East right now. I hear you with the Kentucky arguments. I get it. Florida will not be down for long, I understand. Missouri's trash. South Carolina's overhyped. Vanderbilt's trash. Why is Tennessee not on this list? I have no clue why Tennessee is not on this list. Now, keep in mind, I think it was entering the 2020 season, I want to say. Tennessee was projected to be like, what, 7-5, 8-4 maybe? Well, no, there was more juice going into that season because of the way Tennessee finished 2019. One of those Pruitt years, coming off a so-so season as always. There was an FPI preseason ranking that had Tennessee like ranked 9th in the country. So there's always a team that shouldn't belong, okay? There's always a team that the power index values so much higher. They love Tennessee basketball. They truly did. And we talked about this all the time on the pod. The FPI loved Tennessee's basketball this past season. So there's always a team that doesn't belong. Auburn does not belong in the top 10. Auburn does not belong in the top 10. Do I think Auburn's capable of winning 9 games this year? Absolutely, because there's still so much talent on that roster. Do I think they will? Absolutely not, because it is a train wreck. Brian Harsin's got one more year. Nobody's going to commit to Auburn because they know he's a dead man walking. That's beside the case. Auburn should not be at number 10. LSU will get back up there. Should they be ranked that high right now? Absolutely not. But LSU will get back up there because there's still so much freaking talent on that roster, and you got a good football coach. Texas A&M doesn't surprise me that they're midway at number 14 because A&M's always overhyped. Ole Miss, you lost a lot. You brought in a lot. You've got a good play caller. I get it. Kentucky's 20. That's a little bit too low. As we mentioned, Mississippi State, you're getting the nod because of Mike Leach and Will Rogers. Will Rogers, one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the country. You guys know I'm a big fan of him. Florida should not be in this whatsoever. Florida should not be in this rankings. Florida will not be down for long. I think Billy Napier is a good coach, but Florida should not be in these rankings whatsoever. No excuse for why they cracked the top 25 for the ESPN's FPI preseason rankings. Of course, you're not going to argue with Georgia and Alabama at the top at 2-1. So why in the world is Tennessee not in this right now when you return, what is it, 8 of 11 starters on offense? Hello? Like, what are we doing here? Sure, the ones you're missing are big key pieces. I understand that. A starting right tackle that is a really good right tackle, all SEC right tackle. Two wide receivers that were very productive for you. I get it. Defensively, it was bad, especially at the end of last season. I hear you. But it's going to be better this year. Why on earth, when you have a Heisman contender, not a favorite, a contender, he's down the list a little bit, in Hendon Hooker, and one of the best wide receivers coming back in the SEC, in Cedric Tillman, why is that not viewed as a strength, and why did that not put Tennessee up in the top 25 of this preseason poll? Just ridiculous. I mean, that's a bunch of baloney. Seriously, that's the second time I've said baloney on this program. That's really weird. I don't like that word. Auburn at 10, LSU right now at number 11, even Ole Miss at 17, and Florida at 25. That is pathetic. But again, it's a saber metric, all right? It is a simulation-type situation, okay? That's why sometimes they overvalue. This is kind of what is used in terms of getting gambling odds and all that. They overvalue some teams. It is what it is. Nothing to freak out about. This is not an official poll. This is a football power index, but Tennessee got jobs. So a lot of you guys were DMing me those on Thursday, and I said, no worries. I'm going to get to it. I completely disagree with it. Tennessee, without a doubt, in my opinion, the second best team in the SEC East should have made that. So anyway, maybe Josh Heupel will use that as motivation. Probably not. He could care less. But we all see it, and we all will keep receipts. All right, that's going to do it here for this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Guys, had a blast. Spring practice 2022 is in the rearview mirror. We'll continue that conversation next week. Tennessee has moved its opener against Ball State from Saturday, September the 3rd, to Thursday, September the 1st at 7 o'clock. That game will be televised on the SEC Network. Big thanks to Brent Huff for stopping by and chatting with us here on the show today. And Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Volunteers left out the ESPN FPI preseason top 25. Oh my goodness. Just the nerve, right? Just the nerve. Guys, had fun. What a week. We'll continue to do it next week. Check out Locked On NFL Draft. Make that your second listen to the NFL Draft just a couple of weeks away now. We're going to try to get Matthew Butler back on this podcast and talk with him. So looking forward to that leading up into the draft. But give Locked On the NFL Draft your second listen behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Had a blast as always. You guys enjoy your weekend. Be safe. And until then, we will talk at you on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.